Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing Jeff Blumenthal with It Is Written with it to us. And Lord, I just ask and pray that your Holy Spirit anoint him afresh. Lord, we're going to be learning this afternoon how we go out and share our faith. How do we go to a world that's dying and introduce them to you? How do we meet needs, gain their trust, and bid them to follow you? How do we go about that? What are some ways? What are some avenues? Lord, I pray today our hearts and minds would be open and attentive so that this wouldn't fall on deaf ears, or we wouldn't leave here with saying, boy, that sounded pretty good, and then go right back to what we're doing. I pray, that we would put this into practice. And we ask this in Jesus' name and thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, everyone. It is so good to be back in West Virginia. You know, it wasn't very long ago that I owned 135 acres down on Sandstone Mountain. Anybody ever heard of Sandstone Mountain? A few of you have. Loved it. Gorgeous property. And we ended up having to change some plans and relocate to the Chattanooga area for It Is Written, and we're glad to be down there. But I am so glad to be here, and I can assure you that these seminars that we're going to do every afternoon will be a huge blessing for you as you contemplate and think about what you can do to personalize your evangelism in your own community and town. Now, I'm going to do a little housekeeping here quick. We actually have 12 modules that make up this whole presentation. And they've given me an hour and 15 minutes each afternoon, and each module is usually about 30 minutes. So we'll have a little break between, but we should be able to go through these. And you are very lucky because all over the country, when we do these, most of the time the camp meetings only give us enough time to maybe do 4 or 5 or 6. But because you've given us 6 days and enough time in those days, we're going to be able to cover all 12. So you're going to have everything in your hands to go home and to really be excited about doing some personal evangelism. Now, I can assure you that it's going to be something that you're going to find easy, simple. I'm going to give you handouts every single module. So with these handouts, you can go home, you can put in a three-ring binder, and you can have a track to run on. Now, every new module, I'm going to ask you an It Is Written question. And I have up here DVDs and CDs that when you answer the question correctly, I'm going to give you one. And there's only going to be only one gift given out per module. And if you give me an answer and it's not the right one, then you can't answer again until the next module. But I've got It Is Written Partnership Music CD. I've got Barry Black, some sermons he did with It Is Written. I've got John Bradshaw's life story. I've got a whole bunch of other stuff up here. So after each module, you can come up and pick out one that you'd like. Well, my name is Jeff Blumenberg, and I'm the Associate Trust Director for It Is Written, and I kind of wear a few hats for them. I travel about doing trust and estate planning, and I also am the superintendent for our new building. How many know that we're building a brand new building? Most of you do. Right now, we've got concrete in the ground for our footings. We're excited. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to finally start seeing some steel going up. But we are building a brand new media ministry headquarters, only 2 miles away from Southern Adventist University. So that's going to be fun. All right, well, we have a presentation called Spark. And you got to wonder, where did that name come from? We got thinking, what can we call this? The whole concept of what we want to do is get you excited about evangelism. 3 weeks ago, I was out on the West Coast, and I was visiting my kids and my grandkids, and we had gone out to the beach, Manzanita Beach. Anybody ever heard of Manzanita Beach? One person, just a little south of Cannon Beach, which is kind of popular. Saturday evening, the kids wanted to go out and have a bonfire on the beach, and my son had brought some wood with him, And so we went out, and he gathered up some driftwood, and he had all this wood, and it was all pretty big, and he didn't have any kindling, and he didn't have any paper, and he had his matches in this big wood. And I'm like, how are you going to do this, son? He says, oh, you watch, Dad. So I just sat there, and I was really hoping he'd get this fire going because it was windy and cold, and I was sitting there shivering saying, man, I wish you'd get this fire going. Well, he took out his axe, and he took a log, and he started chipping at that axe, and he started chipping off little wood chips. And before you knew it, he had a little pile of wood chips. And then he took one wood chip, and he took a match, and he lit that one wood chip, and he set it down on the others. And before you know it, it caught the others on fire, and then he added some logs to it, and we had this huge bonfire, all because of one little tiny chip that he got lit. So that's why we named this Spark, so that we can hopefully excite you guys, and you'll be a spark, and you can go back to your community. Well, the purpose of this workshop, a lot of people ask, what's the purpose? What are we going to learn? What are we going to come out from here? Well, we want to give you a succinct track to run on for personal evangelism. We want to make it simple, and we want it to be in a way that you can see when you leave here, I can have results. I can do this, and I can have some positive outcome. As I mentioned, it's going to be simple. We like the KISS principle, and you're going to see the practicalness blended in, and you're going to see that it's going to be relevant to what you can do. Okay? All right. Now, it's time for the It Is Written question. All right, now listen. I'm hard of hearing. So if you say the answer, say it loud enough that I can hear you. Okay? And if you're the first one to get the answer right, then of course you can come up after the module and you can pick out your gift here. All right, here's the question. What year did George Vandeman begin the ministry It Is Written? I don't know, did somebody say that back there? No, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Brother, you got it right, I guess. They're going to have to speak up. They'll have 11 more opportunities. So you can afterwards come up and get your gift. 1956, you know, that's how many years? 62. And it's real easy for me because I was born in 1956. So It Is Written and I started together. I kind of feel close to them. And what a ministry this has been. 4 speaker directors in 62 years. Wow, it's really something. The title of this module is Gathering the Fruit. And I wonder if I can get a little help. You guys are spread out so far on me, but I've got a handout that I've got to get into everybody's hand, and I'm going to need some help in getting these out there. And maybe you could take that side there. You want to maybe take the middle, ma'am? Be great, thank you, and wonderful, thank you. And you can take that section. Wonderful. Get that out to everybody if you would. Everybody get one, and if you need more, I've got some more up here. Gathering the fruit. Interesting. This is module number 1. Did you know that there was a dream about gathering the fruit? Has anyone ever heard about the dream gathering the fruit? Yes. Few of you had, few of you remember. Well, in your hand is that dream. It's taken from Gospel Workers, page 136 through 139. And I want you to take some time right now. This is going to be our springboard. And I want you to read this dream. Now, as you read the stream, I want you to do something. I want you to make some notes, mark, highlight. I want you to try to tell me afterwards when we come back to discuss this. Do you need some more? Thank you very much. I want you to tell me what you found to be a unique thought that's presented in this dream that has to do with evangelism. Now, I'll give you one example. Sister White says in here that she picked some high fruit. What is that representative of in the evangelism process? So that's just kind of an idea. So I'm going to give you 10 minutes right now to read this, to make some notes and marks, and we're going to come back and discuss this. Man, a minute's a long time when you're watching the clock, isn't it? All right, we're good. Kind of a fun read, wasn't it? Kind of a unique read, like, whoa. And as you read that, did anybody say, oh, I see myself here? What was the name of the berries? Whortleberries. What are whortleberries? What are whortleberries? You know, they're also called huckleberries. And they're like a blue fruit, similar to a blueberry in appearance, and grows on shrubs like. Okay, so now what are some of the things you picked up when you read this that you can see a similarity with evangelism? Just speak out if you had something that hit you kind of and you said, ooh, that's interesting.
Right in your own backyard.
Say it again. Okay, that they're growing right in your own backyard. Good, I like that. Another one, please. Excuse me? In gathering? Okay. Where it's like in gathering, okay. All right, somebody else? Excuse me? I'm sorry.
Clusters.
Clustered. Okay, well, now that's really interesting. Clustered, but what did you find out when you think about the cluster? Only a few are ripe. That's interesting. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, right. Well, she says that there was a lot of inattention to the fact that right in front of them was some ripe fruit. And because they weren't attentive, the ripe fruit fell to the ground and started to rot. Hang on, I'm going to go over here. Pastor Mike?
You have to work diligently to find.
There's work involved. Okay, that is a diligent work. Let me go back over here.
There's several times it speaks of quite a bit of recreation going on where we shouldn't be berry picking.
Yes, recreation and instead of berry picking. Go ahead.
I've picked huckleberries many times, and I find sometimes the very best fruit is where you least expect it.
That's a good point. I like that. Okay, over here.
I noticed that sometimes you had to search inside of the bush. It wasn't visible very easily, but
okay.
You had to really search.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate all your comments. They're wonderful.
I thought it was interesting that the ones that couldn't find anything were looking down at the low bushes. And the ones that, Sister Wright, when she found it, she was looking up.
So. Yes. Now, earlier when I mentioned that something about the high berries, what do you think she was referring to there? That's right. Higher class individuals are also fruit that's waiting to be picked. Okay, cool. I'm gonna share some really exciting experiences with you this week on how easy it is to do some berry picking. You're going to love it. Go ahead.
It seemed like there were a lot of people working hard to not find fruit.
Yeah, a lot of people working not to find fruit. Wow. All right. Anybody else? Don't want to cut anybody short here. I got a hand over here. Microphone's coming. Here you go.
And
start again.
She's picked the fruit off the ground, even though it looks spoiled, to go through it again and see.
Well, what do you think that was all about? Did she say she picked it up off the ground and put it in her bucket? No.
She wanted to show the people what they had missed.
Yeah, to show the people what they'd missed. Like, look it. This is ripe. It fell to the ground. This person's heart was ready for you to just come and talk to them, but you didn't do it. Go ahead.
I found it kind of disappointing that
So many of the people felt like they weren't going to find anything to begin with, so they came unprepared.
Okay. That was a mental attitude, wasn't it? Didn't think, I'm not very good at this. People don't want to hear this. People aren't going to talk to me. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, please.
And they also didn't prepare to care for the fruit that was found. She brought back the fruit, and they did not take care of the fruit that was found.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be talking about that in the next module.
Jeff, all right. At the very last sentence, it said that they were told they could pick the fruit closest to where they live. That's a powerful thought there.
I tell you, that is so strong. Right in your neighborhood, huh? Yeah, I got some ideas coming up this week for that. Okay, folks. Well, that concludes Module 1. Now, none of the other modules will have you have such a large reading assignment. But we're kicked off here, one down, 11 to go. And I know a lot of you folks are going to be going home after today, aren't you? And that will really disappoint me. I'll be so sad. So, but those that are still going to be here.
They can still listen live.
Oh, is this being recorded? It's being streamed.
Well,
how about that? Thank you. Was that Russell?
Yes.
Thank you, Russell. Good. So you can go home and kind of tune in and still catch it. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us to this seminar. And we've come because in our hearts we have a need, a feeling, a desire to somehow learn something, maybe new, where we can get involved. Lord, our hearts want to do that. But man, Lord, it's a hard thing. Talk to strangers or to try to evangelize. That's kind of the pastor's job, and how we can do it, we're not sure. But Lord, I pray that you'll use us as we open together some thoughts, speak through me, and bless each one that they can leave here with a spark to go home to their church and make things different. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to take just a couple minutes to reboot our next module. So you have 5 minutes or so here. And you can come get your gift. My next question is really simple. So if you know it, you're going to have to holler out for my next module. Okay, yeah. Help you, excuse me? You see Papa Bear, huh? Hello, hello. Tell you a little something about myself while we're just paused a moment. I joined It Is Written about 8 years ago, and I was living in Hagerstown, Maryland. I had worked at the Review and Herald for a little while, and then I was self-employed for 25 years. And then It Is Written asked me to join them, and I did that, and have been with them. John Bradshaw, and if you know Yves Monnier, the evangelism coordinator for our ministry, and I, we started all in the beginning of 2011. And during that time, the ministries moved cross-country. Our average age for employee was 52 when it was in California, and now it's 36. We've turned this ministry upside down. It's totally a different looking ministry than we were in California. And John Bradshaw is really the one to contribute for that. He is driving this ministry to places and heights that it's never been before, and we're really excited. I mean, it's just what's happening with It Is Written around the world is just incredible. And we think that it's because of the time we're living. The Lord is driving us and blessing us because souls need to hear this last day message. So it's a fun job to be with It Is Written, and I love experiences like this, to go to camp meetings. I travel all over the country, see wonderful people, and I will look forward to maybe coming back to West Virginia. I'll put a little bug in Pastor Mike's ear. We have 3 different modules that we offer. Spark, personal evangelism, is one of them. We also offer kind of a corporate evangelism module, which teaches you how to work in giving a public evangelistic series in your church. We just wrote a brand new module this year, and it is exceptional. That module is entitled Closing the Back Door. And you'll hear me say in this module, and I'll just mention it now, we spend a lot of time and money to bring people in the front door, and we don't spend a whole lot in keeping them from going out the back door. So we have a complete, I think it's a 10 module presentation, Mike, on helping our church people to understand the dynamics of keeping people in the church. Okay. Module number two is called the evangelism cycle. So here's my question. Speak up. What is the name of It Is Written's daily devotional? I heard it right here first. You were really close back there. You were really close. So afterwards, get your gift. Every word is a one-minute devotional. John does a little video, and it's fabulous. Now, if you've never heard Every Word, you'll want to go and check it out. Itiswritten.com, okay? Itiswritten.com. Just go to the internet, itiswritten.com. Scroll down until you see a logo that looks something like this, if you can see this card. And it says Every Word. And when you see this, you can click on it and you can listen to it. Or just to the left of this is a box and it says subscribe. Now, if you click on subscribe, you're giving an you're given an opportunity to put your email address. And we'll mail you then every day the new devotional. Now, just think about this for a minute. In your inbox, when you wake up in the morning, is a devotional from John Bradshaw. It's just 1 minute long. Now, you already know John Bradshaw. You like John Bradshaw. But let me tell you, what he puts in 1 minute is incredible. He packs a 1 minute spot, and then you just shake your head. I mean, so many times I listen to it, and I go, how on earth did he do that? But what's neat is it's in your inbox. Now, you just listened to it this morning, and you go, oh my goodness, I know somebody that's facing that situation, and I'm going to forward it to them with a note. You might enjoy this. I listened to this morning. It blessed me. They've got the one-minute video in their inbox. They're going to listen to it. I don't remember. Maybe it was at lunch today. Yeah, it was at lunch today. Yeah, Bob, you were telling me. Bob, wherever Bob is, Bob told me this at lunch today, that he shows the Every Word to his work crew every morning. And they're not Adventist, but every morning he shows them the Every Word. Well, he just told me that one of his workers just said to him, I like this guy. He's really easy to listen to, and his thoughts are so neat. Does he have any sermons? Wow. These cards are free from It Is Written. You can, I've got maybe about, maybe 300-500 of them with me. Be happy to give you some. But a lot of people take these cards, and they just carry them with them. And they get an opportunity, they give them to people. They leave them at the table at a restaurant with their tip, or they put them in when they pay a bill. But it's a neat way to just share, and this is kind of like some of the things that we can do to personally evangelize. Okay, everybody okay so far? Good, we having fun? I need some help passing some things out. If I can get my team again. Where are you going this time? You're going to take the side over here, and you're going to take the middle for me? Terrific. Thank you so much. So what's in the name, evangelism? What kind of comes to your mind when you hear about it? Usually, when we see that word, we always add another word to the front of it. Public. Thank you. That's right. Public. I always think public evangelism. That's what we think of. Well, today we're going to take it, we're going to get it out of that box of being public. And we're going to look at the evangelism cycle, and we're going to see just how much it's not public, always it's personal as well. Now, I would love to have some people help me, if we can. I've got a parable of Jesus that I'm going to put on the screen, and there's some verses to read. And instead of me reading them, maybe we could get some people to read them. So maybe you could just help me out here. No, I don't have any more. We are out. Wow, how many did we have short? Wow-wee. There's a couple extras I see over here. Okay, a couple that are couples are giving one up. So we're going to look at this well-known parable. You see, Jesus was surrounded by the multitudes, and he often taught how? In parables. Now, you know what? I, for the life of me, I don't get this. I don't get this. Maybe you guys have the answer. I mean, all over the country, I tell them I don't get it, and everybody tries to give me the answer. So maybe you guys. West Virginians are smarter than most people I know. Jesus' method of teaching was done in parables. When was the last evangelistic series that you heard that was done in parables? Do we use parables? Ever? Ever? Have we ever used a parable to teach a truth? Well, maybe we have. There might be exceptions. But that's funny, you know? Jesus was the example in everything. He taught all these truths in parables. I wonder if today people would respond to a parable. I wonder. I wonder if changing it up a little bit and doing a series of parables to teach our message would maybe be attractive to some. That's just a thought. Okay, so now if somebody would read this verse for me out loud. Okay, according to this parable, what should be our approach in trying to reach others? Is there anything you saw through this parable that would give us some idea? Scatter the seed everywhere. Okay, good, I like that.
Don't try to predict where it's worth sowing and where
it's... Oh, okay. Don't try to predict where it's good to sow and where it's not. Yes, young lady? She has a question. You know, I'm the teacher. I ask the questions. What do you think? No, go ahead, please.
I noticed that Jesus talks about very specific issues. He's like, this one didn't have moisture. This one, the ground was, you know, this one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean that when we are sowing seeds, that we can, does that mean we can be attentive to those things and maybe provide a need so that this one that you plant the seed, you know, there is moisture.
Well, she's kind of leading a little bit here, saying that Jesus scattered seed in places that were too dry or too rocky. Should we, when we scatter our seed, maybe help to moisten that ground or help to eliminate some of the rocks so the seed maybe could grow a little better? Good thought. Okay. So Jesus states that the seed is the Word of God, right? We got that? Who's the sower or the farmer? Who? Jesus was, but who?
We are,
right? Us, right? Us. We're the farmer. I like the word farmer. I put the word farmer in there because I like that word. So we're going to look at something here. So The farmer, he needs to be able to have a plan to be successful. Don't you think? Now, there's going to be some things that are going to help us understand this farmer's plan. Now, here's the traditional method. Now, in the traditional method of farming, this isn't soul winning, this is farming. We have, I'm sorry, I forgot this slide was in there. I've got to go back a little bit. When we think of evangelism and we think of our traditional methods, we normally think of doing a public meeting, don't we? And those meetings are every 2 to 3 years, possibly in our church. And we have baptisms, praise the Lord, we lose some. But because some come in the front, some go out the back, people say, public evangelism doesn't work anymore. We've gotten discouraged with it. Well, I can tell you that John Bradshaw just did a 4-week series in Kansas City, and his baptisms from that meeting, I think, are up in the 130 range. 130 new souls added to God's kingdom. Isn't that fantastic? So public evangelism still works. But what we want to talk about is the personal evangelism. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to equate farming and evangelism here. Now, Ellen White had something to say about this. In Volume 3 of the testimony, she said, after sowing the seed, the husbandman is compelled to wait for months for it to germinate and develop into grain ready to be harvested, right? But in sowing it, he is encouraged. Well, she just said a minute ago, he sows it and has to wait, but he's encouraged by the expectation of fruit, right? Do you think a farmer would go out and sow any seed in the ground if he didn't believe there was going to be some fruit? No, he wouldn't waste his time, right? His labor is lightened with the hope of good returns and the reward of the harvest. Now, Acts of the Apostles gives us some other thoughts. There is nothing more precious in the sight of God than his ministers. And his ministers are you and I. We're ministers of the gospel. But nothing's more precious in God's sight than for us to go into the waste places of the earth and sow the seed of truth, looking forward to the harvest. None but Christ can measure the solitude of his servants as they seek for the lost. He imparts his spirit to them. Nothing we do is on our own. We can't take one step out the door without the Spirit throwing his arm around you and saying, come on, let's go together. I'm with you. Isn't that exciting to think about? Wow. Okay. Now, in farming, there's 7 parts. And we're going to look at these. Now, this is where I tripped up a minute ago. I got ahead of myself. I was too excited. This is farming, not evangelism. This is farming, okay? So let's look at this a minute. Personal preparation. What would personal preparation be in farming? Well, get the equipment ready. Yeah, good, I like that. Make sure the seed's ready, right? Right, okay, we're going to do some of that. What are we going to do with the soil? We're going to work it. Going to work. I like that word, work. All right, we got some good soil now. Now we're going to go out there and we're going to sow the seed. That's step 3. What do you think step 4 is?
Watering it.
Well, watering it, yeah, that's good. That's cultivating it, yep. Yep, fertilizer, pulling the weeds out, yeah, yeah. And then what happens? The harvest. That's it. 5. Wait a minute, I got 7 up there. Oh, that must be a mistake. Well, if we have the harvest, what would come next? What would come next? A hear some things, but they're not loud enough for my hard of hearing to pick up. Okay, I heard that. Preserve it. Good. Man alive, if you take all your bushels of peaches and bring them in and put them in the root cellar and go in there 3-4 months later, they're just going to be sitting there beautiful, ready to be used, aren't they? No, they're not. They're going to be rotten. So we have to preserve them. One more part. Oh, man. Have you seen this before? Oh, it's on your sheet. Yeah, of course, it's on your sheet. Yeah, that's right. We start again, don't we? We repeat that cycle. Now, do you think the farmer gets better year after year with doing this? You think he gleans some wisdom? You think he learns the mistakes that he made and probably doesn't make them again? Yeah, of course he does. All right, so now let's get over here into the evangelistic cycle. Ah, let's see if there's some similarities to this. Personal preparation. Soil preparation. We're going to look at all these in detail. We're just going to relist them again. We're going to sow some seeds. We're going to cultivate. We're going to do cultivation and evangelism. Wait a minute. We're going to harvest. Yeah, we like that part. We wish we could just go right to that. We're going to preserve our harvest, and we're going to repeat the cycle in personal evangelism. All right. So personal preparation. Give me some ideas. What would that be? Prayer, study. Yeah, right. Okay. Sure enough, we're going to spend time with God, aren't we? We're going to do something as important as this. We're going to spend time with God. You remember the apostles in the upper room? Tarried there those 10 days waiting for the Spirit to fall on them. They were all united. We're going to do some reading. There's some good reading. You know, we've got lots of neat things that we can get into to help us with evangelism. Now, we're going to organize a team that is going to pray for us and with us. I have a whole module on the evangelism team coming up. It's a neat module, too. Some really neat thoughts. Okay, that's personal preparation. What's next? Remember, what's the next thing? Soil preparation. So now we're talking about evangelism. So what would be some soil preparation for evangelism?
Our hearts. Our hearts and minds. And the hearts and minds.
Hearts and minds. I like that, but it's not the direction I'm going to think about. Going here. Getting close to people. You're getting closer. You're getting warmer. Yeah. Getting close to people. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to connect with people. Now, how do you do that? How do you connect with people? Is it too warm in here? You need me to turn the air conditioning down just a little bit? I am so boring. People are asleep on me. It's terrible. So connecting with people, what are some ways we can connect? Yes?
Friends.
Okay. Oh, helping people. Whoa, that's pretty cool. We could give people a card. Hey, let me tell you a story. I'm going to run out of time, but let me tell you a story. Is it okay to go to McDonald's? Okay, well, I didn't want to say that I went there if you didn't think it was okay. All right, so I went into McDonald's one morning for breakfast, a couple blocks from the office. I like their pancakes. So I go in there, and I'm standing in line, and there's this really tall, sharply dressed black man. Looks like he's about my age, a little older maybe. And he looks at me and he says, "Good morning, how are you?" Now, I've got a whole thing about when people say, "How are you?" what you say in return. I'm one of these people that, if you say fine, like, what does fine mean? It's like nothing. Fine. You have an opportunity to have an exchange with somebody, so you gotta add some value back. I'm big on adding value. You add value to people's lives, they have a little attention. So I do this little thing. When somebody says to me, you know, how are you? I've got lots of different things I say. But this particular morning, I said, I looked at him in the eye and I said, I'm blessed. And I wait for their response. Now, believe it or not, I did a seminar on meeting people like this, and I had so many people say, oh, I could never say that to a stranger. Like, wow, like, really? Wow, it's interesting, you know? But so I said, I'm blessed, and I wait for a response. And I'll tell you what, 7 out of 10 people respond this way to me. They say, I'm blessed too. That's what they say. They concur with me that they're blessed also. Well, how neat is that? Well, tell me, why are you blessed? And you know what? A lot of them say, well, because God loves me. And he's so good to me. And I go, oh man, I feel the same way. Well, this particular morning, I said to Dwight, I'm blessed. He looked at me and he said, brother, that is an interesting response. I guess we all are blessed, aren't we? And we just started chatting. And I said to him, when we got up to the counter, I said, hey, could I get your business card? And we had become friends because we were chatting about our friend Jesus. So it was easy for us to become friends. And I said, hey, can I get your business card? Yeah, sure. I said, here's my business card. It is written. Now, my daddy used to watch George Vandeman. I said, praise the Lord for that. So I took his card and I put it on my nightstand and I said to myself, man, I got to do something. This was a divine appointment. And months went by. And I should actually get my phone out and read to you. My phone, oh, it's up there, I guess. Read to you how this went down. But I'll tell you what happened. 3 months. I always had an excuse why I couldn't call him. But 3 months went by, and I finally, it was a Saturday morning, about 9 o'clock, I saw his card on my nightstand, and I thought, oh, this is a good time. It's not too early. It's not too late. So I thought, I'll text him. So I text him. I said, Brother Dwight, I am so sorry it's been so long since we met that I am responding to you, but how about breakfast one morning next week at McDonald's? Here's his response. Brother Jeff, I'm embarrassed that I haven't reached out to you before now, and you just finally reached out to me. I should have asked you for breakfast. I'd love to have breakfast with you. Well, praise the Lord. We had breakfast. I said, hey, you available 2 weeks? Yeah, let's do breakfast. We're talking about the Lord and how much he loves us. We're talking about wonderful things. And then finally, I knew in my mind, I got to transition this guy over to Bible studies, right? That's what we do, right? We give Bible studies when we have an interest. I'm thinking, this guy loves the Lord. I got to get him over into Bible studies. So I said, hey, Dwight, would you like to come to It Is Written and tour our building and meet Pastor Bradshaw? Oh, I'd love to do that. So I said, all right, after breakfast, we're going to go over there and do that. So he had a chance to meet John, toured him through the building, and then down in the lower level, we have our volunteer room where our Bible lessons are collated. And so there was nobody down there at the time, but all the lessons are there. And I said, Dwight, these are lessons that Pastor Bradshaw wrote. Would you like to do one of these every Monday or every time we get together at McDonald's for breakfast? He said, I'd love to do that. Well, the update on Dwight is we've been through all 25 lessons now. And the interesting thing is Dwight's a minister. And he now knows our full message. And he is struggling. He is struggling with what to do. He's one of these ministers that has a full-time job, and he works on Saturday. And he has his church on Sunday, has a church of about 30 members. And he is struggling. And so remember to wait in your prayers. But that's where we just had an exchange. I said, I'm blessed. He said, well, that's interesting you say that. We all are. Yeah, you know, and we started to talk about why are we blessed, you know? Hey, how would you like to get together and have breakfast next week again? Okay, that's fine. And that's one of the ways that we can take and do personal evangelism. It's not a hard thing. Okay. Man, I really got going on that, didn't I? We've got to cover some ground here quick. So we can connect with people through things we do at our church. You know, we can do different kinds of outreach at our church. And some of our churches are pretty good on some of these things. They bring people in. You know, you might have a cooking class or grief recovery or something. You know, you have these different things. So this is one way that you're touching people. You're out there touching people. And the idea is that you're making a list, right? Now, another thing I do is show of hands. How many here are really good at remembering strangers' names? Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, man. See, one or two hands. I'm not good either. But I have one of these smartphones, and it has an app called Notes. And so I have one of my notes says, strangers. And so when I meet a stranger that is in a place that I'm going to see them again and again and again, I'm thinking, okay, so you work as a clerk here in the post office, and I'm in on a fairly regular basis. I'm going to learn your name. And so I put their name in my phone, and so before I go into the post office, I get my phone out, and I go, Joy, Joy, okay. So I go in and say, good morning, Joy. Well, I mean, what do you think, how do you think that makes her feel? Terrible, doesn't it? Just makes her feel terrible. You know, somebody took an interest to learn her name. Well, you know, down the road, I'm going to have an opportunity to take the next step with Joy, right? And it can be a person at the gas station. It can be anywhere you go that you frequent and you see the same person. Take time to learn people's names. And then cheat. Get your phone out before you go in and see them. Oh, yeah, okay, that's Rebecca. And they'll be shocked that you remembered their name. But you're building a relationship. Friends, people love to do business with or spend time with or work with people that they know, they trust, and they like. And if you're one of those people that they know, they trust, and they like, you can talk to them about anything. Okay? Seat sowing. What's all that about now? One of the things we're going to teach you out in module like 5 or 6 or something is how to use the It Is Written Bible Study mailing card. And it's phenomenally successful. It's so successful that you don't dare send these out unless you are ready to do some Bible studies. And we're going to talk about that. But we can mail out some cards, can't we? We can see whether the local station might be able to put It Is Written on. These are ways that we're sowing seeds. The Every Word card, it's a way to sow seeds, right? Glow tracks, whatever. Now, cultivation. How are we going to cultivate? We've built some relationships, got some friends out there. Now we're going to take and respond to the Bible study request, or we're going to offer to give Bible studies to someone that we've now become their friend. And we're going to take and invite them maybe to things that we have going on in the church. We're going to do bridge building events. We're building relationships. We're building friendships. Now, after cultivation is the harvest. Now, interestingly enough, when we think about the harvest, we think about evangelistic meetings, and they're really a powerful way for you to have your interest make a decision. There's something about doing an evangelistic meeting, there's a better decision rate. There's kind of a passion, there's kind of an interest, there's something that people kind of get caught up in. So you get your interest, you take them through Bible studies, and if they make a decision, wonderful. If they don't, that's okay. You invite people to, you know, dinner with the doctor or grief recovery or a cooking school. And then you do this evangelistic series to bring these people all together. And it's during this joint time that things happen. Sparks fly. Good things happen. Okay, then we're going to take and preserve the harvest. Now, I need my passers out again. I don't normally have two things to pass out, but I do today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've got this guy right over here. Now, this is Closing the Back Door. It's kind of like was a precursor to the new seminar we just wrote. And it's really kind of written for pastors. But you can glean some really good stuff off of this. So you'll want to take and you know, three-hole ring these things. Put them in a binder at home and have them. Because, you know, there's people at home that would love to be here but can't be. But you could go home and say, maybe on Friday nights, let's get together and let's go through these modules together and build your team as everybody kind of learns together. Okay, so to preserve your harvest, there has to be a connection. Now, you know, you might be really good at Bible studies, but you stink at relationships. I mean, that could happen. We're all talented in different ways. But you might have somebody on your team that is a great one-on-one person. I'll call them. I'll pray for them. I'll send them a card. I'll do all those things that keep them connected that you don't really want to do, but somebody on your team will do that for you. So you get them connected one-on-one, and you get them integrated into your church. Now, we all know how we can kind of do that, right? Okay, then we take a break, and we start all over again, don't we? We start all over. We never stop the cycle of evangelism, okay? We never stop. We repeat. We keep doing it until Jesus comes. Does a farmer stop after good harvest? No, of course not. So you want to continue to stay faithful, to stay faithful. And you know what happens? You get better from experience. You just do. The more you do something, the better you get. You know what? Even if you stub your toe or fall over yourself trying to talk to somebody, you learn from it, you go on. It's not a bad thing. But the next time and the next time, you'll be sharper, you'll be better. And the fact that you have some success will just do amazing things for you. Man, the Dwights of my world power me on. They just excite me. I can't wait until the next McDonald's encounter. You know? Think, guys, we all go somewhere where we see people. Let your time with them in a small exchange of greeting be somehow where you add value to their life. You want to add value to their... You know, you go into Walmart. This maybe has happened to you, maybe not. But you go into Walmart. You're doing something. Somebody taps you on the shoulder. Excuse me, sir. Can you tell me where the batteries are? What's our first response? I don't work here. Duh. Oh, man. That's our first response. No, our response should be, absolutely. Let's go see if we can find them. Oh, you don't work here? No, but I'll help you. Why would you help me? Because I love you. Come on, let's go. Let's go find the batteries together. I'll help you. You're chatting while you're walking. How are you doing today? I'm doing okay. How are you? Oh, I'm blessed. Really? Yeah. You know, and you never know what can come from that encounter. That could be the divine appointment you prayed for that morning. It could be somebody asking you where the batteries are. Oh, my. Never, ever tell somebody it's not your job. Never. And never leave a situation where you say to yourself, I wish I would have. Now, let me tell you, I still fail miserably with both of those. Because the devil is trying to ruin everything I do, just like he's trying to ruin everything you do. But continue. I go away and I go, God, you put that person in my life and I just messed it up. I didn't realize it. That's okay. God will give you another chance, give you another opportunity. Keep moving forward. You'll be all right. Folks, you've made it through two modules. And more souls for the kingdom is what the whole thing's all about. You've made it through two modules. Thank you. I'm actually got 2 minutes left. Wow. I don't know how that happened. You've been in a fantastic class. And I hope that I'll see you tomorrow. I know many of you will be traveling home. But if you can, be here 2:30, and we'll look at module number 3 and number 4. God bless you. Thank you.